Can everybody online hear me okay? That's good. First of all, we'll have the apologies, please.
There's also apologies, I'm not sure I couldn't hear there, but just for Councillor Fahan as well.
Thank you. Just before I start the meeting, just on the chairperson's remarks, I'd just like to congratulate Jeanette Murphy on her appointment, her recent appointment in regards to the director's position. Jeanette served as well. She knows the ins and outs of the organisation, very experienced. So I wish you well, Jeanette, what you're taking on, the task force as well, you're taking on. But I also wish Andrew as well. I wish him well for the future. Enjoyed working with you, Andrew. I'm sure I'll speak to the committee in regards to that. And you're here at the end of March to help with the task force. But just move on into the meeting then, folks. Declaration of interest. This is a bit where I have to read this lengthy statement out. We'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I'd remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Thank you for that. Enjoy it. So we move on to the action sheets. And we'll take them page by page. Page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Any members, any issues? Then the proposer, is that them? Yeah. Proposer and a seconder, please. That's a friend, propose. That's a second. Is it? Ah, oh, yes, yes. We now move on to item four. It's the first of our notice of motion. It's a notice of motion in regards to flood defences. Who's the proposed one? It's Councillor Henry, this one.
Thank you.
It's yourself, Councillor Henry.
Well, decided not to do this over Zoom today because I've been sitting on the Range and Flooding Council representing our council for the last 9 years, so I thought I'd make say a few words whilst I was at this motion, Chair. I'll just read out the motion itself and then say a few words about the management recommendation, if that's okay.
I don't think you have to read it. You've already read it.
You don't need to read it because it was read at council already, so you can just go straight into your...
All right. Well, you can see that it generally affects pretty much all our DEAs. Before addressing the management report, I'd just like to describe the board of the Drainage and Flooding Board as made up of a councillor from each of the different councils with a few independent board members. And they're deciding who a very limited amount of money goes to and which projects are passed and which projects aren't passed. I mean, say, for instance, last year, Chair, we were able to pass a scheme for Portadown, but we turned down the villages around Loch Earn for a flooding scheme because there wasn't enough money. So there are issues about the amount of money available. Over the last 9 years, sitting as a board member, I've strongly supported the flood relief schemes for Newry, and I think we're on to our second one, and I'm not sure if Newry councillors are aware. There's four in total, including one that's addressing flooding from the sea. I took over from Jim Wells, actually, in the Chimna and the Burn and two other schemes in Newcastle. We've also passed schemes for Ross Trevor in South Armagh and elsewhere. But there's not enough money invested in this area, and there are significant issues, particularly in Downpatrick, where there's been no flood alleviation scheme proposed for quite a while. And, I mean, during the flooding, I invited the chair of the Drainage and Flooding Council, Adam Strong, down to have a look at the coil himself, and he was able to see how the maintenance of the Belfast bridge, the railway bridge and the Old Killyleagh bridge had not been done properly. We were able to take photographs of that, and we were able to then bring them up for the next flooding council meeting. The two flooding council meetings since then have been cancelled, but there is one tomorrow. So I'd be interested in hearing what anyone had to say about arrangements. Certainly, Downpatrick, there's no shadow of a doubt now, and I think the Rivers Agency are now on board accepting the fact that the coil barrier is not fit for purpose. They can't release enough water in between tides out into Strangford Lock. Simply doesn't have the capacity anymore, and any failure to maintain the old coil barrier, the Killyleagh Bridge, the railway bridge, or the new Belfast Road Bridge will inevitably result in flooding. So there are definitely maintenance issues that need to be addressed here. So we have two big issues. The first big issue is finance, and the second big issue is getting proper maintenance and assessing whether or not we have adequate a number of projects addressing all the issues in flooding across the district. Now, will you remember how Jim Wells used to attend these meetings on behalf of Old Down Council? And I remember some of his speeches talking about the number of 500-year events and the number of 100-year events when he was arguing for the Chimna and the Burren project. And theoretically, 500-year events should only occur every 500 years. And 100-year events should only occur every 100 years. And we've had dozens of them, you know. So the situation has changed, and we need to be arguing for more money. So just addressing the management report, which I'm generally happy with, the first point of seeing if we can get any change out of a shared island funding application, which is point one of the management report. I'd be delighted if it could be investigated. This idea actually came from Irish government ministers who were visiting Downpatrick during the floods. So I wouldn't have put it forward unless it wasn't suggested to me that we should do this. So if the council can investigate this and see if such an agreement can be put together, it would be very important. It would have to be done in conjunction with the DFI, but also we would need support, say, from Louth County Council or from some southern body in order to get it over the line. But certainly there's a lot of flooding events which need to be considered around the district. And I would actually highlight for Newry councillors, they need to check out the Newry flood defence schemes, including the ones they haven't seen yet. I don't think you've seen the one for the defence of the flooding from the sea. It followed on from the Belfast Metropolitan Flooding Scheme, where they were raising all the sea defences in Belfast by 18 inches, taking out all the major drainage systems in Belfast and creating large concrete boxes, basically, underground throughout Belfast in order to accommodate the same sort of situation that could potentially arise in Newry. So I'll just highlight the fact that Newry needs to be looked at. The assumption is that Newcastle is finished. Now, I think any of us who know anything about what happened in Newcastle know that Newcastle is not yet finished. And so we do need to talk to the flooding council representatives, which is a subgroup of people within rivers. So I'd also be supportive of points 2, 3, and 4, which I can broadly summarise up in a management report of saying inviting DFI, particularly the flooding and drainage council part of DFI, in to talk to us and to talk about, first of all, what happened during the floods, what went wrong. I don't think they've accepted yet that maintenance was an issue in Downpatrick. They have accepted the fact that the barrier, in principle, probably hasn't got the capacity it needs to have. So I'll know tomorrow what happened, because certainly I'll be interested to see Alan Strong's photographs being presented to the meeting tomorrow to demonstrate that the river was actually blocked in several places. So there were also other issues about the way in which the process worked, and those haven't been fully worked out. I know that two weekends after the initial flood in Downpatrick, we had another. This town started to flood again, and I tried phoning Marie Ward because being the head of the emergency team. And I got a response saying, no, it's not my job. And then I phoned the Rivers Agency, because I have all the internal numbers, and they were saying, no, it's council's job. So, you know, we were having a repeat of the situation whereby most people in Downpatrick only found out about the flood when the water was coming through their doors, but the Rivers Agency knew maybe 2 days before that it was going to be a problem, yeah? And a lot of damage could have been avoided by people having had the time to take their goods upstairs or get them off the premises. Yeah, so we almost had exactly the same situation 2 weeks after the initial flood. So there's a breakdown there about who you call in the event of a major emergency. And that's a process issue that also needs to be worked out between the council and the Rivers Agency, because the council response to the floods, particularly in the Patrick, was excellent after the floods occurred. But we didn't get the warnings or support before the floods occurred. And certainly the maintenance was very poor. So basically, I'm broadly recommending the management report to try and see what they can do to get shared funding to increase the amount of funds for our district in flood projects across the district. But particularly points 2, 3, and 4 of the management report, and inviting the Drainage and Flooding Council in to discuss, first of all, what went wrong, what funding they have for this area, and also how can we get a better warning system going forward. Yeah. So, thank you, Chair. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Sinn Féin overall welcome the spirit in which this motion was intended by the Alliance Party. It would be, however, remiss of us not to note that the special flood meeting, which was attended by all parties on the 6th of November 2023, and which was endorsed by all parties across the chamber, the outworking of this meeting was to ensure that a robust and independent review would be carried out in relation to the flooding, which decimated businesses in Downpatrick, Flurry Bridge and Newry, and saw residents in Newcastle and Camlagh forced out of their homes yet again. We note that if funding can be obtained from Shared Island funding, this should be investigated. However, it would appear to be very clear that local council is being asked to take on roles and responsibilities that lie within relevant departments. It has been an ongoing issue for many years, where elected representatives and local lobby groups are asking for better maintenance schedules and upgrade to infrastructure, yet years of cuts have resulted in a meagre budget which is not fit for purpose. Had we locally elected ministers in place to step in and make decisions, we would undoubtedly be in a better situation. We note in the report that current legislation dates back almost 50 years in some cases and could be deemed not fit for purpose. Again, another example of how we cannot review legislation for a modern society. We are witnessing unprecedented flooding and storms on a frequent basis, and the infrastructure is not able to cope. This needs a sitting government to tackle it, as it is far beyond the capabilities of local councils. We are asked to seek an update on adequacy of the river schedule maintenance, and we have no issue writing to DFI Rivers for this, but we know, as local reps, that this is not adequate, and without significant funding or a budget, it is likely to get worse. There is a paper table later in tonight's agenda providing an up-to-date position in the interim. We are supportive of the motion, but we as a council need to await the outcome of the independent review, ensure any issues and feedback are documented, and engage with the review panel. Sinead.
Any other members looking? Constitution, do you want to speak? You second the motion, Rachel.
Thank you, Chair. No, I've nothing more to add to Councillor what Councillor Enright has said, but I do understand where the Sinn Féin party is coming from. But I also feel that we can't just sit and do absolutely nothing. We have to do something. And if it means feeding into the independent review, then that's what we'll do. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Trusso.
Chair, could I come back in if everyone else is finished? The officer's report, you're quite right.
All right, Chair, thank you. The officer's report really sets out at the start the motion. The motion is then broken down into four constituent parts, which is essentially elements of the motion lifted out with some explanation or some additional information given. The first one being about the Shared Island Fund at 2.2, and there's a lot of detail given about the overview of the Shared Island Fund at 2.4, just so members fully understand what it's about. The second one then was, the second item then covered about works that have really been discussed, the likes of the Shimna and the Burn and the Belfast Bridge, etc. And again, you know, we've given a bit of a description of the roles and responsibilities of DFI Rivers at 2.5, that they are clearly the statutory authority for the responsibility to protect property flooding from rivers and the sea, in addition to being the lead government department responsibility for the coordination of the emergency response to flooding issues. So, you know, we want members to be clear on the relative statutory obligations. There's a comment in there that about the independent review, and this is following discussions that I had with DFI Rivers, that review will have a technical element and will consider holistically the performance of the drainage infrastructure in Downpatrick, and will include the performance of the coil barrier and the pondage, and that elected members and interested groups will be afforded an opportunity to meet with a consultant during that review. So there will be an opportunity for members to engage in the review itself. Comments then about Rostrever and the Flurry Bridge were made, and an update on the adequacy of the schedule of river maintenance work. Again, there's a suggestion to invite DFI Rivers to a future meeting to give a presentation or an explanation. Probably something members want to consider quite seriously. The report then sets out clearly the DFI Rivers responsibilities, previously known as the Rivers Agency, and as somebody said, the enabling legislation does go back some 50-odd years to 1973, which is clearly the last local government reorganisation. So, you know, the report, there's no real officer recommendation, but clearly it was a motion for members to discuss, and we will take the direction from yourselves on how to progress the issues. It strikes me from the debate that there's a couple of key elements in there. Clearly the interaction through the independent review is a good and useful opportunity for members to engage. Potential invitation for DFI Rivers seems a logical way forward, as well as whether or not I couldn't really discover whether or not such a bid would be accepted by the Shared Island Fund. So there's further investigation really need to see if that is a potential option as well.
Thank you, Henry. Cadogan.
Thanks, Chair. I think one of the key things we have to know that the Flooding Council...
Just a minute. Somebody else wants to speak, and then I'll let you sum up.
Thanks, Councillor Clark, and thanks for indulging me. I know I'm not a committee member. Can I just get clarification of what the exact actions are coming out of this motion? I know Councillor Enright has agreed with everything that has been said, but at the end of the day, there was no officer recommendation, so I'm not clear from a Sinn Féin perspective as to what we're actually agreeing to going forward here. So if we could maybe just, I do want to see specific actions to see, you know, where exactly we're agreeing to moving forward. As Una McGuinness has already stated, there's an ongoing independent review, and I would have concerns that maybe we would be, you know, maybe getting into the middle of that by maybe inviting any, and I'm not saying we shouldn't invite statutory agencies in. Absolutely, we should hold them to account to the best of our ability, but it's an independent review, but yet we are bringing a motion to really rehash the ways of something we discussed in a meeting on the November 23. So I just want clarity around it. Are we asking for additional things, or, you know, what are we doing? And that's just so we know where we are going forward.
Thank you, Councillor Hammond. Could I maybe sum up?
That's an excellent challenge from Una, Chair.
Sorry, hold you again. Councillor Finn.
Sorry, and apologies, Cadogan. I suppose just off the back of what Councillor Hanlon had said, just if there could be any, I suppose, clarity given if the independent review can run at the same time, if I suppose any council officers could clarify if that is something, I know it might not be able to, but I think obviously every rep here saw the impact that the flooding had, and I think the spirit of this motion is to be welcomed, that there, you know, we do need to be doing something, but it would just be to clarify whether or not those two things can happen concurrently, or if there would be a conflict really on that point.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Sorry.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, to pick up the points. Well, the first recommendation in the management report is to investigate further to see if this is a funding stream that we can pursue. Points 2, 3 and 4 in the management report could be summarised in within the idea of inviting DFI, in particular the Flooding Council part of DFI Rivers, in to talk to us. Now, based on 9 years of sitting on the Flooding Council chair, I've seen independent reports before. And remember, the independent report is primarily dealing with the coil pondage. In my view, the independent report would be far better able to run if it picked up the disparate ideas that all our councillors have about this study and what should be included in this study. I'm concerned that there is an assumption within the Drainage Council that that Newcastle is finished. I'm also concerned that a lot of people in Newry don't know what all the component parts of the various Newry-Lubbock flood alleviation schemes are, and that also areas like Flurry Bridge or Ross Trevor are considered to be finished and have no further projects envisaged by the Drainage and Flooding Council. Finally, I would say that this is one of the few bodies that is actually run by councillors, and has a majority of councillors, and councillors can make a decision. So we can influence this body either directly through our own membership of it, or through there are, say, for instance, three Sinn Féin councillors sitting on it, and they would have a voice. So we could influence them in that way. So I would suggest that we do invite them in, and we do ask them about the three areas. We influence what's going to be in the independent study. We influence them to point out that are we not satisfied with whether or not Newcastle is finished, and whether or not Newry has been adequately provided for, or what other areas or DEAs are going to be dealt with by the Flooding Council. It would be useful to know. And finally, we need to know the process, why the process apparently broke down, and how it can be improved, and how the liaison between council management and DFI can ensure that there's an early warning system for the future. So I would suggest to you that we should invite them in, and that the independent study of the coil pondage will happen when it happens, but it's not going to affect the rest of the district. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. I've heard the views of councillors, and I tend to agree that we're not compromising the choir. I think it's part maybe of almost a listening exercise on behalf of the Drainage Council and also the Rivers Agency, that they hear firsthand members' views of what happened over recent flooding incidents. So I think we could go ahead with that. Just in regards to the Shirt Island, certainly right, the Shirt Island asked for the criteria, doesn't meet the criteria for an application, a joint application. Certainly do that. You're looking at it again, hold on.
Yeah, it's just the summary of that then is we're looking to see is the Shirt Island an option, which is welcome if that can be done. I suppose, you know, where do we take our lead from in here with the officers in terms of their opinion on is this compromising an independent inquiry? And in terms of the Drainage Council, that's the non-departmental public body. So what powers do they actually have, Councillor Enright? I know you sit on it, so you obviously are really au fait with the whole processes. You know, I've no issue with them coming in. I would welcome that they would come in, but will they be able to answer the questions? Should we pose the questions to them prior to the meeting so that they're able to go away and do their homework and come in to us with, you know, a proper presentation? You know, because it just would seem, maybe a lot of people don't know about it. I've never heard you mentioning it until the flooding happened in Downpatrick, to be fair. And I know me and you have chatted about that. But if it is a public body that we can ask questions to, I just would want that the questions are going to be, you know, in relation to what's happened and how we move forward and what their role is. And I know I'm sounding pedantic here, but it's too serious of an issue to waste that opportunity of them coming in to speak into elected reps, you know. So just to point that out.
Thanks, Councillor Hammond. Yeah, I'll let Andrew in there.
Thank you, Chair. Bit of a crossover between these two reports. There's a follow-up motion on flooding preparedness, and it's set out in that report the function of the Drainage Council, which, as Councillor Hanlon rightly says, is a non-departmental public body. And the Drainage Council is responsible for ensuring the impartial and uniform application of the DFI Rivers and Flood Defence Programme throughout the province. So they are, in essence, the oversight body which sits above DFI Rivers, and it has a general scrutiny role in relation to the department's drainage functions and a statutory duty to ensure uniformity of treatment of drainage throughout Northern Ireland. So it's there, obviously, to ensure impartiality and that things are equitably applied. As regard to no problem at all about researching or establishing whether or not, if a bid was made to the Shirt Island Fund, whether it would be acceptable under their criteria. There is clearly the independent review going ahead. An issue of whether or not it compromised, in relative terms, I don't fear that it would compromise. It clearly would be safer to wait until that review is completed. But members will have the opportunity through the review to engage with the consultants in that regard anyway. So it may be safer to wait till the end, but I don't believe, in essence, it does. It does compromise the independent review.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, Cadogan, over to you.
Yeah, I would just think it wouldn't compromise it because it's only the coil pondage. It's really only going to affect Downpatrick councillors in terms of that. But I think the rest of the district has flooding issues. I think Newcastle will want to know why the Drainage and Flooding Council thinks that Newcastle is finished. What are the other projects on stream? And certainly I would think that Newry councillors would like to know what are the other three Newry flood alleviation schemes that they can expect. And I think there are issues in the Mourns and in South Armagh that would also need to be addressed by councillors in those DEAs. So personally, I think the owner is right. It would be no harm to have a list of questions from each DEA to find out what are the flood schemes that are projected going forward, if any, in their DEAs, Chair.
Yeah, that's fine. And we'll write to the Shire Island Department. Seeking clarification on doesn't meet the criteria, yeah. The funding. So they'll be happy with that, folks. Yeah. We're clear. And we can get legal advice in regards to meeting, any meeting. Yeah. You know, the council can take legal advice or not. If it's okay to go ahead, we go ahead with. So everybody's content? Yeah. Thanks, members. We move on to item 5, which is the next notice of motion in regards to floods. Councillor Trusia.
Thank you, Chair. There's a lot of papers with this motion, a lot of officer papers with this motion, and I'm not sure of the need to be flooded with so much information. So I'm going to try to get my points across as succinctly as I can, and hopefully we can agree on some sort of outcome. This motion does not have its roots in the flooding in October, November and also December in Newcastle. It has its roots in years of repetitive extreme weather events. We at the minute are breaking all sorts of weather records and not in a good way. We are in a climate crisis. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. We're in it right now. So you don't have to understand it, but you do have to believe it. I'd like to illustrate as a region what we currently have. We currently have a regional development group set up to manage extreme weather events. Then we have councils and then we should have community resilience groups. So as stated in the motion, there's six separate points, but they all return to the same one point, which is that this council commits to establishing a multi-agency emergency response task force to improve defences, preparedness, response and communication during emergencies. So the task force will include, but not limited to, first point, the sandbags and the storage points. This is already in action in Newcastle as the Flood Community Resilience Group was reignited. And I'd like to take a minute and thank Tosher MacDonald, our DEA coordinator, for acting so swiftly in December on that. But I'd also like to caveat that with it should not be the sole responsibility of the DEA coordinator. This is something that every DEA and every resident within the DEA, assisted by a Council Emergency Response Task Force, receiving and disseminating information in emergency situations through the resilience groups. And that can all be summed up in a quote from the 2021 Regional Community Resilience Group, which says that it is important we must now work to maintain our current group and encourage the establishment of others. And that was from 2021. And as yet, I can't find a community resilience group page on this council's website. There are 40 plus local community groups across Northern Ireland. DFI gives support to reps and councils with the whole process. So I would hope to see other reps and other DEAs following suit as quickly as possible, as everything in this motion is relevant to that first point. The second point is the sandbags, flood barriers and other flood defences. I never fail to be disappointed when I read a sentence that begins with, this council has no statutory obligation, because it's not the council, it's this council who is making a choice. Because that same sentence can be found in the Christmas illuminations on item 11. I want to see a sentence that reads, how can we as a council support our communities to be much more resilient? The motion does not say council have to purchase. It's saying let's start working collaboratively with DFI, Rivers and funders. Let's see how Belfast City Council are able to provide sandbags, shovels, trolleys, road closure signs to their community resilience groups. Belfast City Council arrived down to Newcastle about 9 o'clock on the worst day of the flooding with a whole lorry load of sandbags. How are they able to do that? The council sandbag protocol has not been updated on the council website since 2018. The next point is writing to NIEA calling for the immediate implication of a flood warning system. DFI have stated the need for a flood forecasting centre for Northern Ireland. If we all want better public-facing approach to flood warnings, it's required. It does come with an additional budget of $2 million per annum, so it is subject to a sufficient annual budget being approved and in place to allow that to become a reality. Alliance and most other parties have been consistent in their calls for an independent environment agency. This independence is now needed more than ever, and it was promised to us under New Decade, New Approach. Point four is the community plans. Under Minister Malland, an outstanding document was published called the Second Cycle Flood Risk Management Plan 21-27. But I cannot see, as in I cannot find, how this council is taking the recommendations from that piece of work and translating it down to a local district level. I feel that we in council are fiddling while Rome burns. We still need to get down to the local granular detail, like Derry and Strabane have done, writing household and local community emergency plans, enabling communities to manage their own local arrangements. It's not just a question of writing pages of text on a website. It's making it as easily found, up-to-date, readable and understandable as possible. Because when people are in distress, they tend not to have good powers of concentration. That's why, to me, community resilience is key. The Regional Community Resilience Group has an excellent flooding booklet, easy to read with all the necessary information. ABC Council are facilitating community resilience groups, keeping contacts up to date, coordinating between government agencies. Mid-East Antrim, they avail of the Red Cross. They go out and they teach people how to build a good sandbag wall. I've no idea why these papers contain the English guidance for community plans. It's good. That is good. But the Regional Community Resilience Group here also has one. And this is the sort of work that needs to be done on the dry days to prepare for the wet days. These resources could be placed on a web page within the website to download. There could be initial press, workshops on how to fill your plans out. There's also no mention on the council website of the DFI Homeowner Flood Protection Grant. So by not empowering and enabling communities, there will be a learned helplessness developing. Point five and point six, I've put them together in my speaking notes here, as it's unclear how any of this could be classed as a major exercise. A meeting to tabletop stress test, adequacy performance, and another meeting to find out who's cleaning what and how often. Is that information not already known? Is it not prudent to ask those questions? The paper states that it's up to the council to decide which watercourses and sea defences could be maintained by DFI, so there must be some sort of expertise within the council as it is. The Belfast Local Development Plan has flood risk information from DFI built into it. It's an example of a council working with government agencies and sharing the information with their residents and their businesses. So, in summary, we as councillors need to empower residents and businesses by building community resilience groups. And to do that, we need the necessary information freely available on council's websites, and we need clear lines of communication through a council-led multi-agency task force. So we're right back full circle. There's a regional community development group, there's council, and there's community resilience groups. And those three elements within the council need strengthened really quickly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Joseph. Any other members looking in? Councillor Finn? Comment?
Yeah, it's just particularly in relation to the provision of sandbags, and I think it was something that certainly from 6 o'clock in the morning I had residents calling me to ask could sandbags be delivered, and it was really frustrating that I wasn't able to very quickly say to them, this is where you go to get them, or I can go and get them for you, or this is who you specifically can contact. And I think particularly in terms of the community resilience groups, I'm wondering, is there one that has been established for Newry? Because I think, obviously, as mentioned, there's one in Newcastle. And if not, is that a recommendation, particularly because I think any of the other Newry councillors, I'm sure, and officers will know, there was a really good coming together of businesses and communities who wanted to be able to help one another out. And I think if that's something that council can facilitate, I think it's something that's really worthwhile doing. So it's a recommendation that I would like to put forward, that one, specifically given that we are having more instances of flooding and it is becoming really worrying that we're seeing these one in every 500 year events happening, that I do think specifically the way Newry is situated with all of the different impact that flooding can have, I would really like to see that put forward as a recommendation if possible, if it doesn't already exist.
Thank you, Councillor. That could be added on. Any other members? Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, just a brief comment as well. And similar to Councillor Finn about, in terms of sandbags and communication, at key points in these type of crises that develop, and obviously independent review that's been undertaken will hopefully try and identify issues where we all failed in terms of the agencies that were undertaking the response to the various flooding incidents that occurred across the district. But certainly, one thing I want to say is, and I'm certainly receiving representation from business owners, from community groups, from people that were affected by the flooding incidents, and the independent review does need to move at pace. So I'm concerned, that we're 2 or 3 months down the line now, and really there's been doesn't appear to be on the surface any progress been made. And when people are contacting us to ask about what's going on, we really can't give them any sort of detailed or definitive answer as to where things are with it. And whilst they understand it takes time to review things properly, to try and establish where we are, what happened that shouldn't have happened, or where we move forward on this, we need to be transparent and we need to communicate with people as to what's going on, because there are genuine concerns about the aftermath of what's happened here, the impact that's having on businesses, obviously businesses to sustain themselves, even issues like insurance, for instance. And that's some of the feedback I'm getting, where insurance companies are looking at the situation that evolved and saying, we don't know if we can insure you again. And that has the potential to destroy businesses going forward if we had another incident that happened in the likes of Newry in Downpatrick or wherever. We were all affected at some point or other across the district. So I just want to implore tonight at this meeting that we need to move forward with that independent review. I have to say, I can't tell you a big pile about it other than what was discussed in the early November. There's been really no communication as to where things are with that, and we need to look at that, and we need to get that communication out to the community, particularly the community that were affected by this, going forward. And the motions tonight all have a part to play in our response to that going forward, but certainly we need to communicate as to where things are with that, and we need to move forward at pace to try and give people reassurance that we as a council and the various statutory agencies that are involved in providing flood defence for our towns and cities that we represent, that the issue has been taken seriously and that we are trying to address the matters that take forward, because people do have genuine questions about what happened, and we need to be in a position to answer those questions quickly.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Henry.
Thanks, Chair. And just to clarify that the review into the call of pondage is a different review to the review we're talking about at the moment, which I think is referred to in point 14 on the agenda. I would say in support of Jill, I did refer to issues about process earlier when I was talking about my own motion, the need for a proper telephone contact system so that councillors or indeed anyone knows who is to phone, because theoretically, according to Rivers Agency, in major flooding events, council has the lead. I don't think that's actually clear, and it doesn't actually work at the moment when you try to phone people up. There's issues about the sandbags, which Jill raised, and I know there was an instance where there was actually sandbags in one particular village, but no one knew who had the key to the container. And certainly in Downpatrick, there were no sandbags, and the other resilience groups, where they existed, and I think they were largely on paper, wouldn't have known where to get sandbags either. So there is a process here that needs to be worked out so everyone knows how it's supposed to work. and that the people who are involved in the process know that they're involved in the process, so you don't have the sort of situation I described earlier, where 2 weekends after the initial flooding, I couldn't get a response from either Rivers or council on a weekend when it looked like the council was the town was going to flood again. So I think we're sort of talking about item 40 on the agenda as well here at the same time. So I just want to know how we can ensure that all the points that we want to raise and that Julie is raising make their way into that review, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Hangul is looking at.
Sorry. Thanks again.
Go ahead.
It's just in relation to the flood line. Undoubtedly, there was problems with it, but I know that my understanding of it is that, from what Rivers have told me, that that helps them identify where the worst flooding is. And I know it wasn't ideal and Downpatrick really did suffer badly, but it was very evident on the Wednesday evening when I was standing on Market Street and we knew that we were in real, real bother, that Rivers Agency were coming from all over the six counties to Downpatrick with sandbags because they knew from the volume of calls they were getting that that's what was in the most need. We were the area that needed them at that point. That isn't me saying that was ideal, because it wasn't, because ideally we would have had them the day before for whatever reasons. But I do recognise that Floodline does seem to identify where they can see problems arising. For us on the ground as elected reps, it's not much good, to be honest. We can see strategically where it helps people and officers and management monitor where there's problems. But for us, when you've got people worried that their houses are going to flood or they're already flooding or businesses are going to flood and they don't even have the manpower to even get sandbags over to them, where that system isn't working. So I do hope that through the independent review and maybe before it, that they do take a good look at this system, because it isn't really working. Even the narrative that you have to have the water coming through your door before you even get a sandbag isn't good enough, because at that stage, let's be frank, it's too late. You know, because we need, the whole point of a sandbag is that you want it before the flooding actually happens. I do recognise there's a bit of a, you know, that there has to be a fine line with a fear of flooding or an actual reality that you're going to flood as well. So I just think there's a balance there, because it does seem to work strategically, but it's not, you know, translating onto the ground. In relation to Councillor Enright's mentioned quite a few times throughout the meeting about Downpatrick and the risk of it flooding 2 weeks after, I have to say, as an elected rep, I was in constant contact with senior management in Rivers, who assured me they were monitoring the situation from the coil basin, wherever their offices are or whatever way they monitor it, and they were keeping a really, really good eye on it. What I would say is that, you know, maybe that communication could have been better out to businesses, where, you know, businesses were actually, I was standing with a business owner at the back of Rathkelter who was saying this is going to flood again, because the fear was that he was going to lose his business over and over and over again. So I just think whilst maybe some people were able to get assurances, that the communication should have went out, because I felt content enough as an elected rep that they were doing what they were meant to be doing, but it's the public that needs to know that. So again, maybe that's something that could be fed into the review when they go to speak to elected reps and parties and whoever can consult into that.
Thank you, Councillor. Just in regards to my own point of view, it's similar to the previous motion. Obviously, you know, the spirit of the motion is good. We are undertaking a review, as been said in the previous motion. Obviously, we don't want to preempt that review. And I take Councillor Taylor's point of view, there should be, you know, communication back where we're at in the review, what stage we're at, when we're going to get involved as elected reps. I think that I take a board in that. The sandbag distribution was, at times chaotic. We had people on the ground ready to work with the services, but couldn't get the combination code for the, I'm thinking of Newcastle, the three depots for sandbags. There's one in Burndale, there's one in the tennis courts at Agnes Park, and there's one at Donner Park. The Donner Park was cleared out. There was nothing in it. The Burndale one, which was the actually assist with flooding coming from the schooners, Morningview Avenue into Burndale. The sandbags were taken from that location to use in places where on dire situation the water was coming in through, about to come in through the doors. So a lot of the sandbags were used at that them locations, like Elm Grove, like Larchfield, like Marguerite Avenue. But then later on, then the water was approaching the houses in the Burndale, and there was no sandbags left. You know, so there's a real need for, you know, clear communication in regards to the setting up of resilience groups, flood resilience groups. The one was set up in Newcastle was, you know, a previous flooding situation at the Burn River, which impacted a large number of homes again. That was set up. It worked quite well. There was contact with local elected reps. There was the community groups were involved in it. But particularly the residents in that area, who were the key contacts from each estate, they were getting regular messages in regards to updates. They had the, you know, the combination codes. At the end of the day, you have to keep it quite tight, the distribution of sandbags, and it has to be on need. You know, if you've only a limited supply of sandbags, you know, you just can't open up the cabin and let everybody take all the sandbags out, and then when the people need them, they're gone. You know, there has to be a management plan put in place. And my own personal opinion is that we should look at the setting up of that task force or resilience group, or should be through the DEA structures. Our DEA structures have, you know, in my opinion, the capacity to deal with this in that sort of format. You know, we've good links with the community, we've good links with community groups, supporting organisations, you know, people who can assist when it comes to the need to help people on the ground. You know, so I think that's the format that should take place. In my own local area, I would see that working very, very well. As I said, it needs tweaked. There's no doubt about it, because as an elected rep, I didn't have the combination codes, you know, and residents were saying to me, you know, how do we get into these containers, you know? So it took that long to get that action on the ground. And I don't want to start staring off in, you know, into the review as well, into the flooding incidents. But clearly, the Burn River flood defence failed. You know, all them homes, the homes that were meant to be protected, were flooded. So there's obviously a clear failure in regards to that. You know, it's either the pumping station didn't work, or the capacity of the pipes, there was difficulties with them. But I believe just even in, you know, the drain network, you know, I think it's not fit for purpose anymore. You know, the situation where, you know, in the Burn River, the flooding problem that started in Marguerite then spread right throughout that whole area of Newcastle. It went into the opposite end of the flood wall, to the Castlewan roadside, flooded a lot of areas down in Arkeen, Ballabay, Burn Park. You know, so it clearly failed. There's something seriously wrong. So it does need a remodeling, you know, of the drainage system in that area moving forward. And that's the type of thing I hope to get discussions with different agencies about trying to complete it. But in regards to tonight, folks, I'm going to let Andrew come in with his report to summarise, because we need a form of words here in regards to Jill, your motion. You know, there's some issues we can follow up. There's some issues that's sort of outside the remit of council. And I know we talked about, you know, Belfast came down and helped us out. And that was great support, you know, to help them guys coming down and to support our workers and the community, giving sandbags out. They did gain access to the River Seasley container on Islands Park, which was the tennis course, and that's where they got their sandbags, because we helped them give them out. And they've done sterling work, you know. So I think what I'm looking for is some sort of, you know, form of words to move forward after Andrew summarises. Isn't
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just keep it short. Just when you're discussing the sandbags and the help you've got from Belfast and elsewhere, it would be remiss of us not to mention Monaghan County Council, who our party liaised with our own councillors on that council to get the food service in Monaghan, who delivered countless bags to Downpatrick in an emergency. So keep that line opened in terms of a MOU. I think it's very important to learn for the future that help is there if we have something in place for future events like the flooding. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Peters. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. First comment I just want to make before I sort of say a few words on the report is that there are well-established multi-agency emergency arrangements already in place, and that, you know, that involves all of the Blue Light Services, government departments, and the councils. And you mean those take place. And in fact, I mean, during the flooding, the Chief Executive herself was caught up in Silver Command at the PSNI station in Newry. And that provides a good level of coordination between all of the statutory agencies and the first responders. And, you know, that takes place not just for flooding. I mean, they will meet, for example, for the last couple of storms that we've just had this week. So those are there, and there are regional council-wide response arrangements as well, or emergency planning arrangements as well. The report, I mean, again, the report has set out, tried to provide additional information beyond the motion and split the motion down into a number of sections or subsections and just gave some comments on same. Clearly, people have been through that. I just wanted to point out that, you know, again, very mindful of council responsibilities and the responsibilities of other statutory agencies. And whilst this report sets out the responsibility of the Northern Ireland Drainage Council, the last report did set out the responsibilities of DFI Rivers. And again, just for clarification, because I think it's been picked up wrong, in Section 2.4, it all refers to Drainage Council. So if the expression council is used, it means the Drainage Council and not Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. For example, I think it was referred to in terms of watercourses and sea defences. The council is the Northern Ireland Drainage Council in that context, not this body. Again, we haven't, you know, it's a fairly involved motion. There's no specific officer recommendation in the report. It's for members to take their view. There is clearly an overlap with item 14, which is there at the end of tonight's meeting for the information of members, but I just would like to point out that there has been an internal debrief on the flooding and that a wider questionnaire to capture feedback from members and staff will be issued in the coming weeks, and that a debrief report, which will include agreed recommendations and associated action plan, will be reviewed by the Council's Emergency Planning Implementation Group and fed into the external multi-agency review. And again, the comment in there that the formal report from the multi-agency review will be compiled independently and should be complete by the end of June and will be publicly available. So there is, you know, again, stakeholder contributions who are being sought from individuals and from groups and from members, and that there will be a number of engagement events hosted across Newry, Mourne and Down and ABC council areas, as the two council areas who were most affected by that flooding in late October, early November. So that clear? That's just really, I would like to just, you know, draw the connection with item 14 that some members have picked up. And that really, the report really was to provide information to help members come to a decision on the motion.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. Before I go back to Jill, I agree with in regards to Councillor McGuinness was saying about, you know, and her comments about, you know, there is the independent review, and preempting the review, you know, can be dangerous and for us as councillors. So I want councillors to take on board, you know, issues that might compromise the investigation and inquiry, and the director's report. setting out, you know, what is our responsibilities and what is the statutory bodies, other statutory bodies, you know, it's their standard procedures to deal with flooding. And it's a lot of it's down to finances, you know, and a lot of the problems we face, you know, is because of finances and Tory cutbacks over a decade, cutting back in service, cutting back in cleansing drains, cutting back in further, as Councillor Enright said, further flood defences to be put in place. It's been a cut on public services for a decade. So it's no surprise that we're in a situation where flooding is taking place on a regular basis and through lack of maintenance. So, Councillor Truesdale, do you want to maybe sum up and try to pull together the aspects of your motion that the Council can deal with?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I feel that between now and June, we as elected reps could do a lot of groundwork with looking to see how the DEA group in Newcastle, for example, came together again. I mean, I think it fell apart after the Shimna flood alleviation was finished because, I don't know, maybe people thought, right, we're fixed now, it won't ever happen again. But unfortunately, it did. So I think as elected reps, we could all start to look to our DEAs to see about setting up a community resilience groups. I think that's what Councillor Finn was maybe alluding to as well. There's no harm in that. There's no cost in sharing the information. And that's really what it all comes down to, sharing information. We just went down a rabbit hole with sandbags. Sandbags are incredibly environmentally unfriendly. And it's about sharing information. For example, you can get a one-way valve fitted on your toilet to stop sewage coming back up. It's about, you know, having those little pieces of information to share between communities. Somebody took me down to Schooners on the night the sandbags came, and I don't know how many houses are down there. Say there's 100. There was one house that had a flood barrier on the door, and there wasn't an inch of water going through it. And it was great. It was a great example of an alternative to sandbags. So again, information sharing, empowering people that they can, there are other things that they can do instead of feeling absolutely helpless because their local councillor can't get a hold of a sandbag. So I feel that between now and June, we could do a lot. It's not going to cost anything. And I do feel that we've just sat through a refuse task force group, that the same thing could be applied to blood preparedness. Thank you, Chair.
And basically take it through the DEA structure?
Yes.
Are you in? Who's in? Councillor Henry?
Just a small point supporting yourself, Chair, and Jill, on the idea of maybe looking at DEAs to see if they could be a repository for this, but also just a whole point of testing. I mean, all the procedures say they should be tested. And to the best of my knowledge, we've never tested flood defence notifications or we've never had a pretending flood, say, pick a town, Clough, the most unlikely town to be flooded, to see how it would work. I think working through the procedures to see if they actually work and if the telephone numbers work, if sandbags are available, to see if we can get a pre-notification. I mean, one of the problems I had with this entire episode was the fact that the Rivers Agency knew there was going to be a problem, certainly a day and a half before the problem actually occurred, and it would have been useful to have that notice. We need to figure out how to tackle that and maybe test it to see if it can be tested. Certainly, I know that the response to the flooding in Derry 3 years ago was outstanding, and people were notified well in advance, and everyone was prepared. That didn't happen certainly in our district. So I'll just add that on to the DEA idea that you and Jill are proposing, just to make sure that we have some mechanism of testing and making sure that the whole thing works.
Yeah. Thanks, Councillor Enright. And the Newcastle example, it did work after the Burnin River was repaired. It was still differently, then the Shimna came about. But in the lead-up to the build, it did work very well. There was good communication. There was notifications coming out. But as Councillor Truesdale said, it sort of fell away after we got the Shimna defence put in, and people held their hands up and said, that's all sorted, you know. Unfortunately, it's not the case, you know. So definitely get that back up and running. You know, you've people of contact from each sort of street that would be impacted. They're involved in it. They would get the notifications. But we can tease it out at the DDAs. There's no point in me talking about it here tonight. But they certainly did work and built a great confidence in the community as well. And so, Councillor Tracy, then you're happy enough then that we take it through the DEA structures?
Chair, I'd also like to add that there is, I mean, the sort of council role has slipped away. There is a role for council to play in this, in that they could disseminate the information from the regional community group a lot better. There's a lot of excellent information on their site, and there could be a place on the council website for the regional community group advice. It's an excellent booklets, community plan templates, all those sorts of things that you want the resilience groups to use.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like that as well.
Happy enough for that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Everybody happy enough then? Content? Needs a seconder? Councillor Henry? Everybody's in agreement and we move on. It took longer than I think, thoughtful. Items 6 to 13 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information from the public may be, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. So, could a proposer go into close this? Proposer and seconder, please. Councillor McGuinness, Councillor Finn. So we move on to that's us. Once in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 6, business case for firefighting equipment contract. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Kay Murphy, to note the contents of the report and associated business case, and to accept the conclusion of the business case to see the appointment through a tender process of competent contractors to inspect, maintain, and testing of all firefighting equipment and buildings in the Council's asset register. Item 7, update on financial costings for consultants regarding cemetery capital projects. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Kay Murphy, seconded by Councillor Rice, to note the contents of the report and approve the recommendations contained within the officer's report in relation to capital expenditure sought. Item 8, waste contract extensions. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Kearns, to approve the following. The extension of the contract for the receipt and processing of mixed dry recycling with Regen Waste Limited from 1st of April 2024 to 31st of March 2025. The extension of the current haulage contract with Natural World Products Limited from the 1st of April 2024 to 31st of March 2025. Both subject approval of the ARC21 Joint Committee. Item 9, single tender actions. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Kearns, to approve the extension of the single tender action for the collection, treatment and processing of the residual waste, rigid plastics and mixed paper from Patrick Balmensh and Castle Island Household Recycling Centres, as outlined in the officer's report. Item 10, energy contracts 2024 to 2025. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Kay Murphy, seconded by Councillor Finn, to approve the second year 12-month extension of electricity and natural gas contracts with GoPower commencing May 2024. Item 11 item 13 were taken together and for noting. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Rice, to note the contents of the report and further agreed that overall the Christmas 2023 illumination project had positive reviews with local media and social media praise for the displays and upgrades to the existing and new features. Moving on to item 14 and 15, they're both for Noden. No, it does sound safe. They're both for Noden. Do they have a proposal? Yeah, a proposal for them two items, please. For Councillor McInnes and Councillor Fitton. Thank you. That's a big door. Thanks very much for your cooperation, folks. Thank you. Thanks to the officers for keeping me right.